is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
So we are guilty of sin, and lots of it. We need a Savior. We are born going astray, each of us going our own way. And as we look to Christ, as we begin to study His Word and we begin to see what He has to say and how life is to be lived, what God's intentions are for us, it equips us to stand up. And instead of going with the flow like everyone else, we can stand up and walk against the current.
Your natural tendency will be to go with the flow of the world. You'll be told that sin is a perspective and that good is but one's mere opinion. But the truth is, God has defined what good is and what sin is. Today, Pastor Troy assures you that with Jesus as your Savior, you'll see that there is more to life than what the world would have you believe. With Jesus, you'll be able to define purpose, truth, and holiness. With Him, you'll no longer be left to wonder in a postmodern haze of confusion. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, talking about the perfect high priest. Because we've been talking over the past few weeks, we talked about the Word of God and what it does in your heart. We also talked about Jesus as the Word of God and who He is, and we found out that He's a high priest. But today we're going to look at Him as the perfect high priest, what that means. You would think that one sinner would have compassion on another sinner, that we would acknowledge, I'm imperfect, so I'm not going to be so judgmental, so harsh on you. I'm going to have some compassion toward you. But it's not always the case. In fact, it's rarely the case, it seems. We have a hard time being gracious to others and compassionate to others, even when we ourselves depend on mercy and compassion and forgiveness. See, sin blinds us. All we see is ourselves. We see our heart as good. So when I do something bad, I see that, hey, have some mercy, man. I'm not like that. That's sin, and it's not me. But when others do stuff, oh, we're judging them. We forget about the struggles that may be taking place in their life. We forget about the bad decisions that have overwhelmed. Yes, they got themselves there, but now they're overwhelmed. And the last thing they need is judgment heaped upon them. They need help. God is their judge. He'll judge. And yes, we can show them these are the results. These are the consequences. But where is that compassion that we should have? The compassion that Christ has for us. See, sin blinds us to the hurts of others. Sin can harden our hearts and make us judgmental instead of sympathetic towards someone. You remember Hannah was praying for a son. She was crying out to the Lord, begging God, oh Lord, for a son. God had a plan, and God was sovereign, but she was in pain. And she had Elkanah had another wife, Peninnah, who was not very compassionate. In fact, it says that she provoked her severely to make her miserable. Not much compassion for this woman. And this wasn't even necessarily a result of her sin, although maybe that was presented that way. Well, maybe there's some sin in your life. Maybe something's going on. And it wasn't. In fact, she was blessable. God blesses her. So that her son was Samuel, who'd kind of get Israel back on track. But there was no compassion. David, I'm going to talk about a hypocrite. David was in sin, had committed adultery and killed a man to cover up that adultery. And yet Nathan comes to him with this parable, this story about a man who simply took someone else's sheep. Now, it was a touching story that this rich man had so many sheep. They didn't have names. And then this one man, he loved his sheep like his own child. And when a guest came, instead of slaughtering one of the pieces of beef, one of the pieces of meat that he had, he takes this beloved lamb and slaughters it for the man. And David was outraged. He was upset. He saw how it looked. He was very angry, but Nathan woke him up very quickly, saying, David, that's you. That's what you've done. But David had absolutely no sympathy. It's the spiritually minded person, not the weak. There are some that they don't judge anyone. They just be nice to people. You never know what they're experiencing. And they can't do anything but be compassionate. And there's a gift of mercy. There's some who have that gift, and you got to be careful when you have that gift, because there is a time for justice and judgment and drawing the line. But I think many of us fail in having compassion, just general compassion for people. We overlook that they're people. But the scripture says it's the spiritually minded person with that clean heart, who has the right heart, who sympathizes with the sinner. That person should be the one to help. Not the person who thinks they have it all figured out. I've come out of all those things, and so I'm here to help you. That doesn't help much to hear the guy who's got it all figured out telling you how you need to do things. At least not without some compassion, some understanding. Because we're so sinful, it's hard for us to help other sinners. It's Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 that is the direction for us, but it's also a warning for us. That says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We could be tempted, because if we go to someone and we try to help them, we could fall into that. We could side with them. They're gossiping. Well, this person did this and this person. And you could, all of a sudden, they did. I don't believe it. And all of a sudden, you're on their side and you could be tempted. So we who are spiritual, who have a neutral mind, like I want to find what's right by God's eyes, not try to get in a mess and get drawn into the mess. To stay neutral so that I can help someone, whether it's one person or two people or several people, so that I can have God's mind and heart. That's the spiritual person. And because we are so sinful, we can be very tempted to get off track. But Jesus, when he got involved in our affairs, he's perfect. He didn't get thrown off track. He didn't mess up. He didn't come down here and go, oh, I didn't realize it was like this. Save everyone. Just save everyone. This is a mess. Well, he didn't do that. He said, I'm going to show you the way. He died to make that way available. We'll talk about that today. And then he said, be my disciple. Then you need to follow me. He was perfect. He's the perfect high priest. Because many in Israel who have come to faith in Christ, these Hebrew believers, are being tempted to go back into the world. Or let's not say back into the world. That's our terminology. They're being tempted to go back into Judaism, that religion that was established by God, but that Christ came and fulfilled for them. They're being tempted to go back to that works-based religion. They want to go back to that human high priest. All the while, the author's saying, no, 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 you have an eternal high priest, perfect in the heavens. And he begins to explain the difference now in Christ's ministry versus the earthly high priest's ministry established by God. In verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men, in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he's required as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. In other words, he has to sacrifice for himself for his sins so that he can qualify to sacrifice for other sins. This is the human high priest. In verse 4, he says, "And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was." The first thing that makes Jesus the perfect high priest is he was ordained. He was called. He didn't take it upon himself. It was his role. It was the Father who bestowed that role upon the Son, who would be the eternal high priest. The high priest was a man taken from among men to minister the things pertaining to God. He stood in the gap. He lived a life that was separate from the world, and it was devoted to the Lord. Aaron was the one who was chosen to be high priest, and his descendants specifically. They were of the tribe of Levi, but he was a specific family within that tribe. And so only a descendant of Aaron would become high priest. So there were very strict guidelines. You didn't choose this. You weren't born from the tribe of Judah and go, you know what, I want to be a high priest one day. No, you don't get to be. Because God had established who could be and who would be. That he could have been gifted. And if you weren't born in the tribe of Judah, you would have made an amazing high priest. But he still could not take that upon himself, because it was not given him by God. Now the high priest, his primary task, though there were many, the priesthood in general had the task of sacrificing to God at the altar. And there were sacrifices. Once a year was the big one, and only the high priest could make that atonement and go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, that mercy seat. He could only go in, only he could go in, and only once a year.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share on the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
There was Passover once a year, and that was just basically a bloodbath. Everyone had to bring their own lamb. And not every person, but one lamb for the representative family. Maybe about 10 people, one lamb for every 10 people. And so they would bring that. The idea is the whole lamb would be consumed by those 10 people, by that family. And so they would all bring that lamb, and there would just be sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. It said that the Kidron Valley would be flowing because the blood would be draining out and drain into this. There'd be like this sharp drop off outside of the tabernacle or temple, into this little valley that was the Kidron Valley. And it would just be flowing with blood. There was so much blood during Passover sacrifice. So there were sacrifices on that day and specifically. But did you know there were also daily sacrifices? There was a morning sacrifice and there was an evening sacrifice. So when it came to the Sabbath idea of rest, you know who didn't really rest? The priests. They didn't rest because their job didn't stop on the Sabbath. They still slaughtered. Morning sacrifice, evening, tend to the light. They did all the works that they had to do. So there were sacrifices after sacrifices. Unless the sacrifices were offered in the right place, by the right person, in the right way, they were not accepted by God. And then, again, the priest had to offer sacrifice for himself. So you could see sacrifice was a big deal in this culture. The very existence of a priesthood at all, one who had to do that job and stand in the gap for the people, was a revelation from the Lord. It was a picture that just as here in this picture, you have to go to a man, you have to go to someone who goes to me, goes to the mercy seat, because of sin, there's a separation, and I will ordain this person. He'll be set apart. It was a picture of what was to come, and it revealed to us something has separated us so we don't have access to God. It was a revelation from God to show us that. God is that awesome. God is that holy. And sin has separated us, so we need a mediator, one established by God and God alone. It also reveals his love or his mercy. Because God didn't have to provide a mediator. He didn't have to provide a priesthood. The reason he wanted to establish that priesthood is he wants us to have access. He wants us to be able to come to him. He wants our sin to be atoned for so that we can have that relationship. That's his desire for us. And that's what the priesthood was a picture of. Greater things to come. Because the high priest was a man, he was able to have compassion on men. He understood the whole system of sacrifice because he had to sacrifice for himself also. So he understood. It says that he could have compassion on those in ignorance going astray. This isn't, you know, ignorant people. Those who sinned without even realizing it was sin. That's the idea. The atonement provided for not only sin you knew about, like, okay, I know I yelled at my kids, or I know I said some things I shouldn't have said. I know I lied last week. Those, you know, there are things you're walking around going, if someone were to ask you, did you do anything wrong? No, I've had a great week. And yet, we don't realize it. We don't know it. We're not even aware of it because of our sin and our lack of understanding of what it means to truly follow the Lord. We're not aware of certain sins that cause problems in the world, in our families. Why didn't my kids should have been perfect? I was a great parent. I was great. I did everything. I didn't do like my parents. I followed the Lord. I pointed to the Bible, took them to church, and you did all these things, and you can look back and go, I didn't do anything wrong. Lord's going, oh, man. Just be glad that the atonement is for sins you're ignorant of. See, we're so guilty, and we're so sin-laden, we can't even see some of the things that are sin. We can't even acknowledge them. We're not aware. But God is. And he says, you need atonement for it. So the high priest would make that atonement, and it went for sins even in ignorance. The picture is this. You need a savior. Doesn't matter who you are. Let me give you an example. You're driving at 50 miles an hour, and that's the speed limit. But what you don't realize is that the speed limit changes to, let's say, 35. It looks like an open road. It looks like a 50-mile, it looks like a 70-mile-an-hour road. But you're law-abiding, 50 miles an hour, but you don't realize that it's changed to 35, and you're zooming through at 35. In fact, there are other vehicles. They're all doing 50. So there you go. I'm good, going with the flow of the crowd. I read the law way back there, and all right. A cop, in all the numbers of people, he just picks you. Now, we try to justify ourselves. Everybody else was doing it. But he pulls you over, and he's not going to go, you know what, you're right. Everybody else was doing it. All right, go ahead. No, he's going to say, well, the law is 35 miles an hour, and you were exceeding that. I don't care if all of them were exceeding it. You are guilty. Is that not true? We're guilty. In the same way, God has an ideal for life. Some of it we get. There's sometimes we read scriptures and we go, ooh, ouch, all right, I see what you're saying, Lord. But there's sometimes, I don't get it. I don't get what this is saying. We're not ready for some things. But God is speaking truth. And Jesus even told his disciples, you know, there's so much I want to tell you, but you guys are not, you can't hear it. You're not ready. So we are guilty of sin and lots of it. We need a Savior. We are born going astray, each of us going our own way. And as we look to Christ, as we begin to study his word and we begin to see what he has to say and how life is to be lived, what God's intentions are for us, it equips us to stand up. And instead of going with the flow like everyone else, we can stand up and walk against the current. That's why Christians are so different. We're called out of the world and we walk against the current, against the flow of what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is saying is okay. And it makes it very difficult for us. You ever walked against a current? The stronger that current, have you ever walked against one? It's hard. You're kicking those legs up. It doesn't matter how strong you are. That water, it doesn't take much water to take a house and just wipe it out. And we're walking against that. We're trying to live in contrast to the current of this world. And it's not easy. We're born ignorant of that fact. We're born again aware of that fact. As we begin to learn, we begin to walk against the current. And it's not that easy. This is why we're counseled to run our race, not looking to the world, not Googling it, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to him. Well, they're doing. No, they're not the standard. Christ. Fix your eyes on Christ. Yeah, but they're, but no, don't worry about them. There is no perfect Christian. And there's also no Christian who is being convicted in the exact same manner as you. For instance, even if three of you have the same three sins, same three things, God may, because of your heart or your weaknesses or your past, work on number three here first. Yes, the other two are, but it's too much right now. Let's work on this one. The other two are wrong, but here's this one. But this Christian, number one's stumbling you. And so this Christian can look at that one, working it on number three. Oh, God's not really convicting me. That's not wrong. There's not wrong, but you're wrong. You're wrong. God's just not emphasizing that on you. The scripture says that it's to the Lord we all give an account. And so we can't look at the world, certainly not the world, and we can't even look at everyone else to find our standards. We must look to the scriptures and find our conviction in the Lord and follow him. In that, there is unity. Where the disunity comes from is, this one's working on three, this one's working on one, and this one says, three's not a sin. This one says, no, one's not a sin. Well, let's just do all that we want to do. I guess maybe none of it's a sin. And so we just do it because we can't figure it out. All we can do is fight. When in reality, God is working on our hearts. We can't dismiss those things. We just can't always be working on the exact same things. We have to follow the Lord. When we're born, our flesh dictates everything to us. Our flesh tells us how to feel. I don't feel happy today. A few things go wrong. Just a few things go wrong, and all of a sudden, it's just a bad day. By 8 o'clock, three things have already gone wrong. I'm just going to have a bad day now, the whole day. And our flesh says, yeah, that's right. You let them know. You let them know how you feel. So that's right. I'm going to let them know how I feel today. I'm miserable, and I will not be lifted up. I will not be brought out of this because I want the world to be miserable with me. And our flesh is so corrupt that it's selfish.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life, and that you enjoy learning more about him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in